This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
My name is Anna Silk. For 6 seasons, I played Beau on the hit TV series Lost Girl.
And my name is Rachel Skarsten, and for 3 seasons, I played Tamsin.
Welcome to the Lost Girl Rewatch Podcast,
a show where we will look at all the episodes, share some behind-the-scenes stories,
and chat with some very special guests.
Now, on the show, our relationship was sometimes rocky,
but in life, our friendship is rock solid.
We are so glad that you are here to join us for this trip down memory lane.
We love that the family is back together again.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Lost Girl Rewatch Podcast, where we are so fortunate to have the most special guest, Miss Zoe Palmer, joining us again.
Yay!
Hello. Welcome back.
Thank you for having me back.
You look lovely.
Thank you. So do you both.
Thank you so much.
Everyone who I can see. I don't know who I can see, but I can see you all and you all look great.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Well, yeah. We are very excited, Zoe, because today we are going to be talking about Lost Girl Season 2, Episodes 7 and 8.
Okay.
Episode 7. Titled Faye Gone Wild, written by Alexandra Zeroni and directed by Lynn Sopkowicz, and episode 8, titled Death Didn't Become Him, written by Steve Cochran and directed by Steve DeMarco. Mm-hmm. So,
All fine people.
And so, okay, we're going into episode 7. At the end of episode 6, we learn that Lauren has a girlfriend named Nadia.
Yeah,
and the last scene is Lauren talking to Nadia in a giant oxygen tank. So, or some sort of tank, some sort of life-sustaining tank.
Yeah, she was in a life-sustaining tank.
I love that.
Now, sci-fi show. Was she actually
like the description of sci-fi episodes, you know? Because like as you're watching it, it seems normal. But then as you're describing it right now, it seems so bizarre.
Yeah.
She was in a life-sustaining oxygen tank. Cool. Yeah.
I think at some point they got a double to lie there.
Yeah, because but I noticed that Athena was credited, so I was like, God, she came in to just lie in that tank.
Well, I think she may have at times, and then not at other times,
right?
Because there were times where like there was a lot of stuff where we were in front of that tank just doing hours and hours of whatever we were doing,
right?
I think that she was switched out for someone else or something that looked like a body in there.
Right.
I don't really know what I'm saying.
I can't remember. I feel like that set was just for the tank. Did we do anything else in that room?
We sure did.
I'm glad you remember.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think we did. I mean, we did
other things.
It was fairly Nadia centric.
It was Nadia centric. That's right.
I mean, there was one thing in the room and it was Nadia.
and there was a big tank. So now that we've established there was a tank and Nadia was in it.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. So, okay. So at the beginning of the episode, Kenzie and Beau are sitting there. Kenzie's trying to encourage Beau to open this box. Right? Yep. So the box, and okay. Oh, this is our stripper episode as well. Stripper seals.
Yeah.
Stripper seals.
I wasn't there.
You were not in for the stripper part. So,
no.
I believe we had hired real strippers. Why wouldn't we? Lovely women dancing, beautiful women dancing.
It's hard to dance like a stripper. Have you ever tried to go to one of those classes? Like,
it doesn't come naturally.
No,
if that's not, if that's there, no, they
talent,
they
have, like, yeah.
You know, it's hard. And then God help you if you have to go up a pole.
Yeah.
No, seriously.
I mean, I would never come back down. I don't think.
I didn't think I could
what
get
would
up.
You do up there?
I don't know. I think I'd be, once I got up there, I'd panic and just cling for dear life, I think. You'd have to send the fire department.
At one point, I actually bartended in a bar that had a pole. No one stripped. It was meant for everybody to do whatever they wanted on. And I had one move I could do, but it was not particularly enticing. It was more athletic. And I would do that move.
But, okay, well,
I wish I could show you. I wish I could show you the move.
This is a pole and this is
you.
Okay, here's the pole for all for everyone watching. This was the pole. This is me, my legs. And I would run at it and hook my leg. And then spin. I mean, I can't spin and spin and spin. And so I'd start up high and then spin to the floor.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. You had no idea.
I mean, I can't believe we did 5 years of law school where you play a sexual succubus and we never once saw you spin on a pole.
I lost opportunity.
I feel robbed. I feel robbed. So, well, these ladies came in.
Yes.
Real strippers. Except for our guest star, who played the main stripper seal, Christina Rosato, who was amazing. I know, Rachel, you've worked with her before. She was incredible. And she was beautiful. And her dancing was amazing. And I remember, I feel like they probably hired a female director for this reason, because it was a very, you know, exposing episode for everybody. But there was a lot of energy on set that day, but she was so beautiful and did it so well, et cetera, et cetera.
It's hard to do that stuff.
It's hard to do that stuff.
You know, when you're on, you know, I've had to, like, whether it's sing in front of a bunch of people or dance in front of a bunch of people and, you know, there's a million background or whatever it is. And it's like your moment to do this thing. And it's vulnerable.
It's vulnerable.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So good for her. It's hard.
So what about season two? Coming and watching episodes from season two, I don't know about you, but I have a really tough time remembering, like, I'm watching it like I've never seen or thought of this show. I don't remember the story.
It wasn't yesterday. It was a long time ago.
I mean, I was going to say,
but it's funny,
be
like,
weird if you had
watching season one, maybe it's because it was our first season. We were finding it. And it's more, it's more fresh in my memory. But season two, I feel like we came back, we hit the ground running, and all of a sudden, I'm watching going, oh yeah. Or like, who are these people? I don't remember this at all. It's crazy. Yeah.
Season two was also 22 episodes.
It was. I mean, I feel like at this point we didn't know it was going to be 22.
No, we didn't. We didn't. But you do now.
But we do now. But we did then, if we look back. But I feel like the show was very much still in creature of the week. You know, but I remember that season two also feeling like, oh my God, I'm not like an actor anymore. I'm a professional line learner and sayer. Because all I did was, like, there was a lot of, like, Beau does a lot of things. Like, I wrote down some lines where she has to say a lot of things like, when I said we should spend more time together, this is not what I had in mind. Like, things like that. You know what I mean? like where she was constantly, there was lots of talk, one line, and then Bo says something like that. And I feel like we did a lot of that, which is entertaining, but it became hard to perform.
Yeah, but when you're doing that many episodes, it really is a grind. So
yeah.
Oh, sure.
You're balancing the performance with just the sheer volume of work that you're doing with no break, no time to prepare. It's not like you got all 22 episodes ahead of time. So sometimes, you know, you're filming till 4 a.m. and starting a new episode the next day and you're, you know, trying to read it before you go to sleep. And it's like crazy.
It's crazy. It's crazy. Yeah. So in watching it, I feel that it's fun to watch because I don't remember it. And the guest stars are so good.
Yeah.
They're so good. In episode 8, like Salvatore playing the lick.
God, that was a trip to watch that again.
It was such a trip to watch that again. And because it was.
Yeah, because I remember that very well.
Yes, I actually do have more memories of that one. And because it was directed by Steve DeMarco, who moves so quickly, Salvatore had to be like, he did like one or two takes of all that stuff.
I know.
And he was so compelling. Yeah. And so,
mind you, he did have time at the end after Salvatore's character died to do a few alternate endings.
That's right. Yes, I remember that. He like staged some bloopers. Steve DeMarco, the director.
Well, he staged him. We were listening to him say his final words dead on the ground.
Yes.
And then just when we thought he had finally died, we would start to walk away.
That's right.
And then he would launch right back into more lines and we'd turn back and then he would die again. We'd be like, okay, he's done.
And I think that clip for everyone listening exists on some blooper reel somewhere. So you can look at it.
You can find that.
Yeah. That's what, I mean, Steve was so good at bringing that kind of levity to set. But everyone was just really game for it. I look at some of the guest stars in both of these episodes and I think there's just such good performances from people. Like they had such rich characters.
Oh yeah. I mean, I think one thing that stands out just rewatching it, every time I rewatch it, is just the sheer creativity that was infused in the show. It was so heightened, so magical, so creative. You know, they really did create this world.
Yeah.
That, like you were saying a minute ago, sounds crazy when we kind of talk about it now. But at the time, it was just in the context of this magic.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it was kind of such a treat to be able to kind of really play in that playground, you know? Mm-hmm. It's very cool. I sort of, you know, I look back and I go, oh yeah, there's not many shows that have that, you know? Mm-hmm. And it was such a fun thing to do.
Totally. Totally.
It was so much fun.
Was there anything that you guys felt didn't work about this episode or?
The Stripper Seals episode. Well, for sure, I look like I have a mullet. My hair. What's going on with my hair in that episode? I have a mullet. I have a mullet. I know, but I look back and I'm like, it's a thing. Look, and our hair guy was incredible. Incredible. No, it was sometimes we would take a few risks.
You always, it's like you're.
Yeah. Oh, do I?
Yeah.
Oh, well, how's my hair right now?
It's great.
It's pretty good.
Always
could be better. You look great. I forget your question. What didn't work? I have a lot of things in this episode that I loved. First of all, in both of these episodes, Casey Collins is rocking it.
Oh yeah.
He just has
is that when he takes his shirt off?
Oh yeah.
Jesus.
I mean, no, but like, what the heck? He is.
Yeah. Well, he's ripped.
He's ripped. Yeah. It's beyond ripped.
Yeah, it's ripped in a, it's not just regular ripped. It's rippity rip rip.
It's rippity rip ripped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're right.
Yeah, we were like, I didn't know.
No, I didn't know. And I remember, you know what I said on set?
It was almost scientific.
It was scientific. It was. You needed tweezers. Not tweezers. Something larger, but you needed something. I just remember thinking,
we have to follow that thought.
It's because I was thinking of the game Operation. That's why, but that's a little bit different.
You wanted to take out a dog bone from his.
I did. I wanted to take out the butterfly.
Remember that noise? And you'd be like, shit.
Yes.
Yeah.
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 We play Operation in this house sometimes still, believe it or not.
All right.
So
yeah.
It's fresh. On. It's fresh in my mind. But
and you just imagine KC lying there.
I do all the time.
Yeah.
But we know what he was doing anytime he was in his trailer was plank.
Or was he
sit-ups? Really? I mean, look at his body. He was rippity rip ripped.
I know, but some people just have that.
They do. I know.
That's what
Chris was doing. He was doing planks and eating apples, I think Casey.
Yeah. And then Chris has a great body.
Yeah.
But Casey's body was like something that should have been in an anatomy class.
Yeah. I know. We need to discuss this with him.
I mean this in the most complimentary way.
Yeah.
I just mean how like, oh my God.
No.
Like
complimentary. You have an Adonis.
Okay. I don't know. I'm just making, yeah. He really, it was next level.
Yeah.
I'm all like, I have abs. And then I was like, no, I don't.
Casey never, you know how like there's some people that know they have that under their shirt and they walk around like, I got this under my shirt. He never did that.
Yeah.
That's why it was so shocking.
No, not ever.
It just came off and we went, what? Why didn't you know about this? You should be talking about it. Like I would.
But Casey always used to, him and I used to chat in our little chairs and he would talk about how he likes layers of clothes.
Oh, I thought you meant a performance.
He wears like a t-shirt and a hoodie and another hoodie and he sleeps in lots of clothes. I don't know if he still does, but at that time he was talking about it. He likes to be hot and clothed and covered. And so I think he's not one of those like, here's all my stuff.
Look at me in my tank top.
Well, we got to see his stuff in the episode, which was lovely. But also just he was so strong in the episode. Like, I feel like they were, you know, at this point in the story, they're trying to develop that Kenzie Hale relationship. They're sort of planting the seeds for that.
That's right.
Which was to see. And both of them together were incredible, but Casey was so strong.
Yeah.
I loved him in this episode.
Agreed.
I also need to say that the van scene where Bo like goes to this van and then walks backwards and hits the feet of a body, which, you know, one does. That location for everyone listening was the hottest place ever in the history of filming Lost Girl. We had crew members
more
fainting.
More than Brazenwood?
Oh.
Yes, more than Brazenwood because it was inside a warehouse. So it was so hot in there. We were all dripping wet. Linda, our makeup artist, they'd have to come in and like wipe all the sweat off us. And then everyone was eating popsicles because the whole crew and the poor stunt guy was just hanging in this.
Where was he hanging?
On the ceiling. like he had been hung. So in real life, he was not hung. He was just there on a, you know, support pulley. But it was so hot. It was the hottest day. They brought in all these air conditioning units and we had two.
I guess if you just swung them a bit,
you'd get a breeze.
You would have got a breeze.
Maybe you had it better than
if only you. Yeah, maybe he did. that memory came back to me. I have a mullet. I've got that written down. The stripper seals when she finds her pelt and then dives into the water at the end and then turns into an actual seal was a little tough for me to get on board with. It looked a little silly to me. But still yet very enjoyable. But I love the scene with Bo and Lauren.
This is where Anna's niceness comes out. You know, she's like, it's a little tough for me, but still enjoyable. I'd just be like, that looked like shit.
It could be niceness. It could also just be
nothing. Nothing beats Mop Monster.
No, nothing beats Mop Monster. No. Yeah, that was season one. Must have been. Was it? Yeah, season one. No.
But didn't we have like the Cookie Monster? That guy who ran through.
That's the Mop Monster. But
the thing is that I didn't see anything until I had to FaceTime Lauren FaceTimes with Bo.
Yeah.
And then this creature comes up behind her to attack her. And I don't know anything about it until we shoot it. And I sit there and all of a sudden this man wearing 75,000 mop heads runs up behind her and I had to go, oh, Anna or Bo, where's the name is? There's a, and I was like, what the What is that?
I can't remember. Was that last season? I just remember it was Alan was the stunt guy, and he was wearing that mop thing.
I thought I was there was I not there for Cookie Monster?
Anyone listening can write to us, please, and remind us, please, of what season that was. But what I was going to say about this episode. Okay, first of all, Lauren, I'm going to talk about hair again. Lauren's hair was epic this season. You had so much like glamorous hair.
Yeah, but that's because Shirley put it, attached it to my head.
No, I get it, but it just looked so good. But I love the last scene with Bo and Lauren, where Bo gives Lauren the box, right? Don't I give you the box at the end of that episode? Yes. And you tell me about Nadia. And I love the opening line. Oh gosh, which episode was it? The opening line of
my washing machine is finished and it's singing a song.
Do you need to flip the laundry?
No, I'm not going anywhere. It's just every time we film something.
You know, you can take that sound off, but I love the little song it plays for me.
Mm-hmm. It goes on for, yeah, yours it's still
is
going.
Yours is really, it's really going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a bit
shorter,
it's intense.
But I do like the sound.
And mine's more musical. It's more lyrical. So it's prettier.
Mine's musical.
I mean, it was a bit like.
You don't have to get competitive. Like,
this is like a 1950s podcast with my washing machine.
Yours sound okay, but like mine does God Save the Queen and a few other options.
Mine has Andrea Bocelli.
It's Josh Groban, actually.
Michael Bublé.
Yeah. Anyway, it's stopped now and they're clean. And the point is, cool. I'm clean.
You know, that's one thing I've always said about you.
Clean.
I know. Yeah.
Zoe's clean.
Do you remember the last time something fell?
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to tell everyone what that was.
Yes.
Because a big crash while we were filming. Mm-hmm. And so what it was I have a closet and there, you know, those hooks that you stick mm-hmm. to the wall?
Yeah.
I just stuck it to the wall
like
and
the
hung in a little room.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just so my little broom could be hanging on the wall. And then the whole thing came down and the broom and hook. So it was a broom hook frenzy. And that's the sound that everybody heard last time that scared me half to death.
I remember. And now everyone.
I just felt like there
mystery.
Should be a
yes,
there,
absolutely. Yeah. We can yeah. close the case.
Anyway, I gave you a box.
You gave me a box. I liked the scene. But then going into episode 8, I love.
Yeah.
Lauren's opening line. God, I'm getting these episodes mixed up. But the opening line where you have to say something like, oh, if you had a girlfriend who was stuck in a coma, sitting in a box, whatever, like you have this long thing, you know, not sitting in a box, but in an oxygen tank. It was so wonderful. I love the episode eight for Bo and Lauren. Like there was a lot of fun things. The body bag coming in the body bag. And then which I remember like being laid into and being like,
did I wheel you in?
Who you wheeled me in.
I wheeled you in.
Yeah.
That was nice of me.
It was really sweet. I also love in that episode.
My favorite thing ever though, is when I say, I just really want you to meet her.
Okay, so story-wise, at this point, they've really come in to the beginning of season 2 to try to break up this love triangle, right? So like at this point in the story, Dyson has met up with Kiara again, played by the lovely Lena Roessler. Lauren has a secret girlfriend in a tank, right?
Who I really want you to meet. Yeah.
And why wouldn't you? And Bo is very sweet and kind. She says, if you want me to help you get this girlfriend back, I'm going to do it. You know, like she comes in. So the, you know,
and then you killed her, but
she deserved it.
Didn't see that coming when you were trying to help.
No, I didn't. But that's what,
can we talk about Athena? Because Athena was amazing.
She was incredible.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Oh my God. I remember even when we shot the scene where she started to kind of lose her mind and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like there was the stuff where she tried to stab me in the tub. And, you know, there was just a few moments where she was kind of like really, and you could see, I don't know. I just thought she did such a beautiful performance, and it was tough because like her arc was like, she woke up from a coma and more or less went crazy.
Yeah.
And I thought she just did a beautiful job that could have turned into something that looked possibly, you know, a lesser actor may not
like that crazy.
Yeah. No,
yeah. She found a beautiful build. And then when she finally did kind of snap in that final scene where you killed her, you know, I remember in the scene, just watching her going, wow, you're really doing incredible work right now. Yeah. I was really impressed with it.
Yeah. And she had to come out of a coma with a sense of history with you.
And hit the ground running.
I mean, most people get a little time when they come out of a coma.
A minute.
Yeah.
I know.
But yeah, but she also had to like wake up with this sense of history, which was there for both of you. That's on both of you, obviously.
Yeah.
But she's an incredible actress.
Yeah, she's a solid actor. I was just really impressed with her.
Yeah. And I also love Zachary Bennett, who played the bloody butcher when...
Yes.
It's such a gross scene. And I remember being really grossed out by him. He's all bloody and he's chopping things and he bites his own finger off and starts eating it.
Yeah.
And I remember Lisa, our lovely props lady, gave him like this big gummy worm, like a thick one. That was like red. So it was all kind of blended in and he bites the gummy worm and that's what he's actually biting and chewing on. And it looks so gross. That's a good idea.
Yeah. There's a big, thick gummy worm.
Not a thin one. It can't be like a little wiggly one.
No, it's gotta be finger
like
thick.
Thumb. It's gotta be at least, it's man thumb.
Oh, it was a thumb?
You know, I can't remember, but it was some digit.
Where do you buy gummy worms that are as thick as thumbs?
Like that's my question.
Well, Lisa found stuff. Lisa was amazing.
Listen, once I started stabbing whatever I was there's the microphone. She got some sort of heart at one point that I had to stab. And I was like, this woman can do anything.
Yep. She can do anything. Lisa can do anything. Yes.
No, she was amazing.
She was amazing.
And she was also just like so good at, it's a skill for anyone who comes in to talk to the actors.
Yes.
And leave. She was a pro at that. Like nobody, she would come in. Here's what it is. Here's what you do. Do you have questions?
This is how it works.
Boom.
This is yeah.
And she would, and she was just so ahead of it. Yep. Like she was so on top of it.
Do you remember what happened to Lisa when we're filming episode 8 and we're chained? We're both chained to the wall.
Oh yeah. The chain to the wall. I don't remember.
Okay.
What happened
to her. What happened. We were chained. She's up there chaining us, you know, as she does. And then she, you know, it's like roll sound. Lisa's chaining us. And she runs off stage.
Past it,
what?
Get past it.
Oh, yeah. Land the plane, Anna. Land the plane. Okay, got it. She's chaining us.
And then we were chained. And then she's chaining us. And then do you remember we were chained? And she
I'm
chained
not sure
us,
if you
so
remember that there were chains. Okay.
Yeah.
Then she runs off stage.
Yeah.
And she wipes out, like she falls flat on her face and slides across the floor. And you and I are standing there and she just yells out, I'm okay.
That's not at all funny.
No, it was, she yells, I'm okay. And we're like, they're like, action. And we're like, oh no, you were chained. There was nothing we could do, but she was okay. She was okay. My son is coming in the room. My Levi, you cannot be here. You can't be on camera, my love. Both of my children.
Chained to the wall.
Levi.
Action. I love that it was just like action. And we were like, okay, she
how savage this industry can be, you know?
I know. Savage. But the point is, oops, Lisa was a, I mean, she was just a rock star. She could,
I know. I'm sure she just bounced right up 3 feet off the air.
She
landed in some sort of cat pose and
she
kept
did.
Going.
That's exactly what she did.
Yeah. And then we were like, oh. That, like, where they'd like slide like this. Like, that's my memory of her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would, if I could only, I mean, I love crew on every show, but Lisa was solid.
Lisa
was so good.
Would get a particular special prize.
Yeah.
She was the
maybe
Navy
I would give her
seal.
Some chains.
Yeah, some chains. Let's talk
really
more about chains because
I think you should. Yeah, we really circled that intersection.
You know, speaking of chains.
Yeah.
Recently, we went into some snow. Yeah. Here in California with my family. This is a little family story. And
So he's like, oh, this is actually happening.
This is actually happening. We drove a place called Big Bear, and you need chains on your tires, right? So we're like, oh, okay, we got to go with chains because if they get a lot of snow, it's a treacherous mountain. So my husband, the day before leave, I'm like, okay, oh, did you get the chains? He's like, no, we got some special socks. For the tires. And I was like, socks? So we didn't have chains. We had socks. And it just doesn't sound like it has the same effectiveness as a chain.
I don't even know how to react to this story.
I know. I don't even know what to do. It's right up there with like, do you buy that at the same place you buy thumb-sized gummy bears?
Like, I don't know. But I just thought it was something everyone should know.
Yeah.
That right. If you don't need to get chains, you
it's
can
good.
Get socks.
I understand the chain of events now.
You do.
Yes,
yeah.
Me too.
I feel so chained to this story. I just feel
this story is off the chain.
Changing subjects. The other thing about guest stars on this show, like people like Salvatore, Zachary, and Courtney White, who played the spoiled rich girl who was so great. As well, Kenzie is with in that episode. Even though they're really like strong characters, this is where the writing was so good and the performances were so good. They're all really like sympathetic characters. You know, you feel sad for them. They're not just evil. They're not just bad.
That's good writing.
That's good
writing. That's layered. They figure out how to make even the most heinous kind of horrible characters have depth and dynamic.
I know.
And, you know,
and you kind of forget that until you're rewatching. And it is a weird season for me to rewatch because I just feel like I'm watching the show for the first time. I really do.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was a while ago and I had the same experience. I was watching and going, oh my God, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Just a lot of that.
Yep.
And then I was like, oh my God, are those chains?
I know. I found myself sketching and I looked down and it was just chains.
Chains. I know.
What else?
Just doodling. I can't decide if we just keep going,
I'm not even joking. I just looked down at my notes and it was the note about chains.
I'm like, at some point, have we climaxed or not? I can't be sure.
Our episode ever.
Okay. Story point. Though. This is a story point. Yeah. This is the first time Bo does a super suck. So this was a big deal in the story because I'm chained. I get shot through the stomach and then I get up because they've taken you and tied you to a table or whatever. And I super suck, which is a big story point.
Script, what did you think? Did it say Bo super sucks?
It said something like that. It must have. How else would I know? I mean, what did I think? I thought, oh, okay, that'll be Tuesday or whatever I would have thought at the time that I was reading it. But it was a big story point. And I remember getting up to do my, you will all listen to me speech. And then I went to ADR and John, our lovely ADR guy who we had on the podcast last year.
John Lang.
He wanted me to see it. And he showed it to me and it was this big, deep, booming demonic voice. And he wanted to know what I thought. And this is why people were so incredible and so collaborative, because I was watching it and I said, well, there's one little thing missing from this for me. And it's that it doesn't have, like, I think of Bo is so uber sensual and sexual. I felt it needed a feminine sound in the masculine sound. I needed both. And so he blended that in, which I thought was really cool.
Totally.
To listen back to it and see that he took that and liked it and did it. That's it.
And there it is.
Okay. It was cool to watch. Yeah. I love the scene with you, the lipstick.
Oh, the blot.
The blot. It's a beautiful scene.
Yeah.
It's a really beautiful scene.
That was all lighting, that scene.
What do you mean?
I mean, that was lit so beautifully.
Oh, it was lit beautifully. I mean,
and that was David Green, right?
David Green did us all favors.
I mean.
Yeah. We looked good.
Like, I know. That was just him just doing his magical, you know, side lights and whatnot. And you just came in like sort of float in and to a scene.
I know.
We have a lot to thank him for. That's all I'm saying.
Yes, we do. And we just never had to worry about that aspect of, we always knew we'd look incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a great scene. Yeah. And then, what else happened in that scene? I guess you see Natty and I kissing at some point, don't you?
No, not in this episode. You kiss me next to Nadia.
Oh yeah. Oh, that's right. I kiss you right next to her.
Yeah.
I said,
and then we heard like a little knock.
Like you to meet my girlfriend and pop.
And then I brought you in and she's lying there. And I was like, and now that you've met her, I think we should probably make up.
And then look at each other like, what's next?
That was kind of crazy. Yeah.
That was kind of crazy. And
yeah. And only to find out, I guess that kiss really was what propelled you to stab her.
I mean, that's really what you whispered it into my mouth.
Yeah.
You're like, you must
into your mouth.
Oh my God, this episode.
Yeah, no, this is. I just would like to say for the record, I did not whisper anything into her mouth.
No, she didn't.
No. But, you know, I just mean, I think you got your hopes up a little there.
I did.
Once I kissed you right beside her and you were like, okay.
There's some, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you took her out.
I did. Season two. Season two. What else?
Season two.
What else we got?
I don't know. I mean, season two for me is the biggest memory, I think, in as a whole is all of us at the end at 4 o'clock in the morning with Steve DeMarco killing a Garuda.
Oh, yeah. Once we got the 22 episode order, we said the word Garuda.
Well, I feel like when I came
150 million times.
Like by season three, you were just like, oh, the Garuda, like that.
Like, oh my God, the Garuda.
I think they had to kind of write that, stretch that storyline, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was a great storyline. It's just we were drowning in it by the end of season two.
We were.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, and then we had to see it, and it was a tennis ball flying around the room, and we had to try to keep our eyes on it.
It's amazing we didn't just die laughing all the time filming the show.
I know.
Because we did the most ridiculous things, but
we did laugh a lot, though.
Sometimes it felt like we were kids playing, you know?
That's what I mean. It was magical fun.
It was
fun.
It was
a lot of fun.
Don't you guys remember that?
It was summer camp.
Yep, it was. Yeah.
It was the best. It was the best.
Wow.
All right.
Well, anyway,
Miss Palmer.
After
the chains.
I know. No, listen, where else could you go?
Where could you go? And we are very lucky to have you come back on the show.
It's my pleasure.
We know how much, and I know you know how much Lost Girl fans love you and love Bo and Lauren. And we are very grateful to you.
Well, I'm very grateful to you and to all of the Lost Girl fans. The feeling is beyond mutual.
We will always be chained together.
Oh, God.
Zoe's got to go. Her laundry machine calls her.
Anyway, it's funny. I don't hear it. I don't hear it. Zoe, it's weird. So weird.
My mic's cutting out.
Thank you, everybody, for listening and watching to this week's episode. Thank you again, Ms. Palmer. Thank you, Ms. Scarston. And we will see all of you guys on the next one. Is that your washing machine?
Is that your laundry? Somebody flushed the toilet? What happened?
Bye.
Hey, Rachel, are you ready for some voicemails? Let's do it.
I am ready.
This first one is from Nancy.
Hello, this is a question for both of you, Anna and Rachel. Has your characters, Dennis and Tamsin, have they ever played video games and been influenced quite a bit by Kenzie, specifically the Backrooms, Alan Wake, and some of the really good classic horror films and movies and analog horror? Look it up and you'll know what I mean by analog horror. Take care. Bye.
I don't know analog horror. Do you?
Okay. Well, I'm about to find out. Rachel, you're going to Google it.
And I think the question is, were our characters influenced by video games, et cetera?
Yeah.
Huh.
Okay. Let's see. Analog horror. Oh my gosh, this is so scary. What is analog horror? It's a subgenre of horror that draws heavily on the style and aesthetic of vintage analog media, such as VHS and cassette tapes. So, you know what it would be? Like the Blair Witch Project. That would be kind of analog horror.
Okay. So was my character and or your character influenced by that?
Uh-huh.
I mean, I guess because I grew up playing video games, Rachel, where I'd go to the arcade and get some quarters, and then you had to turn in the quarters to get tokens, and then you had to put tokens in the machine, like big, you know, classic video games. So I was certainly influenced by that. And then one of my best friends, Jeremy, growing up, he was the first one to get a computer. And so we played video games at his house on the Commodore 64. And it was like this game where everyone moves really slowly and like stabbing happens really slowly. You're stabbing these creatures and blood comes out like really like in little tiny bursts. Me, Anna, personally was very influenced by video games and of that genre and era.
I would say Tamsin, maybe not by analog horror, although that was like Blair Witch was when I was in, you know, grade school and it was really scary. But I was of the N64 generation and my brother and I did play Mortal Kombat. And I suppose the way that I played Mortal Kombat was very similar to Tamsin. I would just press all the buttons and hope for the best.
I love that. So, that actually is a good parallel with Tamsin.
Mortal Kombat.
And for me, I was more like waiting and then pouncing. And really competitive and wanted to win. So that's like Bo in slow motion, in stilted, pixelated images. Great question, Nancy. I've never had that question before. Let's take another voicemail from Jen.
Hi, my name is Jen Dumas. I live in Colorado and I have one question for you. If you are currently in the auditioning process right now, whether for TV shows or movies, what is it you're looking for in a role right now? You've both been on successful TV shows, but at this stage of the game, what would your ideal role be? Thanks for responding.
These are great questions. Sure.
You want to go first?
I've gotten more long in the tooth, which means old. as I've matured in this business and in life, a great role might not be the same thing as a great job. You can have a great job as a mom in this business, and it can be the best job. And maybe it's not your dream role, but you're working with great people and you're contributing creatively in some way. And that's a great job. It would be amazing if the great job could also contain the great role. So I don't know what that great role is. Although I think you predicted recently, Rachel, that I'd be like a district attorney or something. And then my next audition was that. And I was like, I'm going to book this because when what Rachel says must be. Abracadabra. That's what that means. As you say it, it shall be or something like that. So I will see. Fish. We'll see what happens. But that would be my answer.
I feel like you'd be a great, just look at you right now. You'd be a great DA. Oh my gosh. Whoa. I just got my eyeball. That was so weird. That was God being like, it's not that way, Rachel. I would love to get a really cool series on Apple or Amazon, kind of like 8 to 10 episodes. Yeah. Maybe zombies are involved. Don't know. Just
maybe
putting
slow
that
motion
out there.
Stabbing.
But totally. Maybe a little emotional combat. I would love, just to maybe not even be the lead, but a really great supporting character. Because as you said, when you become a mom, the lead role, as Anna knows, is very, very time consuming. Like, 19-hour days, day in, day out, press on the weekends. And I guess my priorities right now have changed, but I still kind of yearn for that creativity. Mm-hmm. Either that, or I keep saying this, I want to be in a movie with Will Ferrell. So
well, there you just said it. So that's it shall be.
Yeah. Well, no. And I am a big believer in saying things out loud. I think some people call it manifestation. I just call it like owning what you want. And I think that there's a power in saying something, because then once you've said it, you either make it happen or you don't. But I don't know. It's like when I moved out to Los Angeles and I told everyone I was coming back here to be an actor. And I remember it was like 2 years of auditioning and everyone was saying no to me, but I told everyone I was going to do this. So I was like, I will be damned if I move home and this doesn't happen. I think there's a power in that, you know? So that's what I want.
Good. Great question, Jen. Will Ferrell, and I will be the attorney in that movie.
Yeah.
I think I have to be more specific with my desire, just the random attorney that walks in. But yeah, it is a good question. It's one I reflect on often, to be perfectly honest. So we shall see. But thank you, Jen. And thank you everyone for listening to this week's episode. We will see you on the next one. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Lost Girl Rewatch podcast, which is produced by Anna Silk, Rachel Skarsten, and Seth Cooperman, with theme music by our very own Blood King, Rick Howland. Please rate, review, and share the Lost Girl Rewatch podcast. This enables us to grow and to continue bringing you exciting new content every week. If you don't already, follow us on Instagram and on our YouTube channel at Lost Girl Rewatch. You can also subscribe to Patreon, where you will get exclusive video access to all of our episodes.
The softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.